Well, we are on day number 435 of quarantine. Okay, not really. It just feels that way. And this past week when I was doing pastoral care and just trying to call around and connect with different people, I heard a common theme. And there was a common theme that I heard just through the conversations I had with friends and family as well, that really many are anxious during this time. And I can totally understand why. In fact, many desire peace in their homes. Anytime you put people together in a confined space for mitigated amount of time, it's going to be tense. And so the other thing that I've heard is a concern over how long. I mean, we just don't know how long this is going to last. And I think that unknown part of it also just begins to creep in and really create a sense of, really, to be honest with you, fear. And one of the things that I noticed as well is how many people are praising our teachers. So I just want to say to all of our teachers, wow, thank you. Thank you for what you do. And now that all of us parents are homeschooling, we are so appreciative of your work. But one of the things that I heard from many different people is that just many of us are afraid. A lot of us are afraid and we're trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is happening. And there's a real fear. I know that the title of the series is Not Afraid, but there's a real fear that many of us are experiencing. Like my brother-in-law, who is a PA and he goes to the hospital and he works and he is on the front lines of this pandemic. And the real fear for him is bringing it home. I mean, he does all of these precautions before he even walks in the house, and he puts his scrubs right into the washing machine and goes up and takes a shower right away. Doesn't even look at, talk, touch nobody in the house. I mean, this is a real fear. Also, my sister who works in the surgical center at a hospital as well, and she's a part of the supply chain, and the real fear of medical equipment that isn't arriving on time or doesn't even exist. The fact that there are people that have been stealing medical equipment as well. I mean, it's there's a real fear. Or police officers and the fear that they have because they're, again, on the front lines. Think about this. Think about grocery store workers. You know, they are considered essential. They're stocking shelves. They're touching all of these boxes that are coming in deliveries. They're the ones that are out there, again, on the front line that are trying to figure out, like, how do I keep myself safe? Costco, I mean, employees that are there week in and week out, for that. And so there are some real fears. And I want to make sure that I say this at the beginning of this message, that fear is not a bad thing. Fear is not a bad thing. Fear is only bad when it takes control over our thoughts and our actions. When it becomes, our mind and our body begin to fear and it becomes overload. But really the truth is fear is instinctual. It's there on purpose. And our mind and our body uses fear as a pay attention indicator. And that's exactly what it is. It's a pay attention indicator. Because there are times if you're being chased by a tiger, you are going to want your body to say, this is not good and you should run. Or knowing what to do if you're being chased by an animal. So we're in this 3-week series called Not Afraid. And in this series, we know that there's plenty to be afraid of, but let's talk about the things that we don't need to fear. So the things that we don't need to fear. So in week one, we're going to talk about what is there not to fear. So that's going to be something that we're going to talk about. That's the title of this message this morning, What Not to Fear. Week two, we're going to talk about that hope is contagious. We're going to talk about the contagion of hope and how we have the opportunity to bring hope during a time that is so desperate right now. And then week three, we're going to talk about being under attack, because right now we are under attack. What do we do when we feel anxious, alone, and afraid? What do we do? So we're going to address those things in the next couple of weeks. So things around us are quickly changing. There's no March Madness. We just got a report that the Daytona 500 is being called off altogether. Late night hosts are all doing their late night from home with their families. And originally when I heard that concerts were being canceled, I was like, wow, they must be really precautious or taking precautions. And then I heard that Ariana Grande's summer festival was being shut down. I was like, whoa, this is serious. And that was like the call to action for me. It was Ariana Grande shut down her summer festival. We need to pay attention. But each week is different. Each day is different. So what do we do now? Many have been asking me over the last couple of weeks, Pastor, what are we going to do now? Many on the staff, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Leadership, you know, what is the church's responsibility? How are we going to handle this new reality? And my first response is, I don't know. And I think that's okay because I think it's always best to make decisions on information that we know and not project what we think we're going to know in the future. We have to make decisions about what we know right now. I mean, leading the church during a time of a pandemic, that is going to go in the book of the things they don't teach you in seminary. Because there is no book for this. And we're all trying to do our best. So, but I can tell you that there's things that we're not going to do. You know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to meet in services together. And we're not going to be able to be in large gatherings. We're going to be stuck in our house. But there are things that we are going to do. One of the first things that we're going to do is we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to pray in groups virtually, Sunday morning. You can still pray with Pastor Kaylee. Sunday or Tuesday morning for men's prayer, you can still pray together virtually. And then Wednesday evening, we're still offering prayer services. So prayer is going to be an important and continued vital piece of what we are going to do. We're also going to monitor. We're going to monitor things and we're going to monitor information. We're going to monitor what is out there from reliable sources. I want to make sure that we get our reports and our updates from reliable sources. Right now, Facebook is a mixed bag of information. Some of it's good, some of it's not. So we want to make sure we're getting our information from reliable sources. And then ultimately, and I want you to hear me say this, I want you to hear this, our decision-making filter isn't going to be through the world, but instead through the Word. I think that's important. Our decision-making filter, it needs to be through the Word of God and not the world. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "But test everything that is said." Now, when we test everything, the test that we actually hold is everything, we hold it up to the Word of God. That's the test. And then it goes on to continue to say to hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. If we're going to test things in this world, we're going to have to test it through the Word. And so as followers of Christ, we're not like everyone else. It's true. Now is the time when people are going to be looking to us for security. Now, no pressure, but it's true. These are the opportunities, these are the moments where all the things that you've been sharing about being a believer, your coworkers, your friends, your family, your neighbors, they're all going to be looking to you and say, okay, you've been sharing this peace in the storm. You've been sharing this hope in the darkness. You've been sharing all of these really great and comforting things, but are you now going to live that out? Again, no pressure, but it's true. There's a lot of pictures that we see of supermarkets with empty shelves. But you know what pictures that we're not seeing, and they are out there. In fact, I've seen a couple of these pictures, are the empty shelves of Bibles. People are going to the store. And they're not just picking up beans, and they're not just picking up corn. They're picking up Bibles. In fact, I was on a coaching call this past week with a church leader who leads an underground network of churches in Kansas City, and he actually said that their yes rate when they invited people on Next Door Neighbor, they used the Next Door Neighbor app and said, hey, my church is going to be doing a virtual Bible study together, and each week we're going to be covering a different topic through God's Word. Their yes rate was 90%. 90% of people said, yes, I'll join you. And they did. Because right now, people are scared. It's true. They're scared of what's happening, but they're also hungry. And they're hungry for answers. And there's many people who believe that potentially, really, God does have the answer to this. I believe he does. But I believe we have to search his word, and we have to be in prayer, and we have to monitor the situation. We have to hear and sense and see and find God through the midst of this. So I want to share with you this morning, just briefly, three ways that we're not like the world. Three ways that we're not like the world, which I believe will help us navigate fear. So the first way is we live by faith, not fear. That's the first thing that we need to understand, how we are not like the world, and help us to be able to navigate this world, that we live by faith, not fear. Jesus comforted his disciples in John 14 when he said to them, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. This is an opportunity and a time, church and those who are joining us, to trust in God, even as difficult as that might be. The Apostle Paul, when encouraging a young pastor named Timothy, he actually highlighted his faith. He highlighted his faith. He says in 2 Timothy, Paul highlighted Timothy's faith and his genuine faith. He says, your faith is a lot like the faith of your mother and your grandmother. And so Paul knew Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and he says, Timothy, your faith has been modeled for you. So this led Paul to these words in verse 7. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. This is Paul encouraging a young pastor, a young believer, to say, recognize how you've been raised, the faith of your fathers, the faith of your mothers, the faith of your family. And now you have the opportunity. He says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, Timothy. And I would even say that when I read that, I believe that God is speaking that into my own heart. God did not give us a spirit of fear, Steve. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Insert your name there, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I think that's important because God gives us faith, not fear. The scripture doesn't tell us that God puts a spirit of fear in us, although there are opportunities where God does allow that fear in order to help us understand our situation, but he doesn't give us fear. He gives us faith. That's really important. The second way that we're not like the world, and the second way that we can utilize our faith in order to get through this, is that we are sacrificial, not selfish. We are sacrificial, not selfish. Paul to the church in Philippi said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. I mean, how important is that message right now when we see so many people hoarding things? We see people stealing things. We see people that are going to the stores and they're just wiping out the shelves. But yet for us as believers, we are not selfish. We are sacrificial. And Paul's words here are so important. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. And don't try to impress others, thinking others better. Be humble instead. Be humble. Think of others better than yourself. Notice it says, look out for the own interests. Look out for your own, but also take an interest in others. You know what I mean? So it says, be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, one of the things I want to point out in the scripture, it says you do need to pay attention to your own interests, but you just can't allow that to supersede the interest of others as well. So it's a balance. Everything right now is a balance. I just keep talking to people about that balance of the way that we're navigating these new waters. Acts chapter 2 is a great example of being sacrificial. In fact, this is where our core values as a church come from, Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. So we pick it up here in verse 44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. Now, obviously, it might be a little bit more difficult for us to be together in one place, but they sold their property and their possessions and they shared the money with those in need. The example here for us is to be sacrificial, not selfish. They didn't hoard. They weren't selfish. They weren't guarding supplies. They recognized that now in their context, it was the time for them to care for those around us. I want you to understand something about this pandemic. This pandemic may offer you the greatest opportunity to be generous than any other time in your life, even now and also in the future. This pandemic right now might afford you the best opportunity in your lifetime to be generous. So you may have something that someone else needs. I don't think that there were carpenters around the country who ever thought that having these N95 masks were going to be so valuable to healthcare workers that are on the front lines. But now you hear stories about how carpenters are going to the hospitals, how construction companies are going to the hospitals and they're delivering boxes of N95 masks because these carpenters, these construction workers, these painters, they have what these hospitals need. I bet they never thought that they would be donating these items to a hospital, but now is the time and now they are. You see, you might have something that someone else needs. And I'm not talking about just material things. I'm also talking about spiritual things as well. The third way that we are not like this world, and the third way that we can think about how to navigate these new waters, is that we shine light, not hide it. We shine light, not hide it. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 reads, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way," listen to these words, "let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Let me just share with you, people are nervous, they're scared, they're anxious, and they need hope. So we need to spread the light of hope for people to see. That's what the scripture is telling us that we ought to do. I love hearing former drug dealers that give their life to Christ. They say, you know, I used to deal dope, but now I deal hope. And I love that. So church, during this time, be hope dealers. Be the greatest dealer of hope that you can. Deal hope like you're standing on a street corner and you're trying to make a buck. Deal hope. Be a hope dealer during this time. Next week, we're going to talk about how hope is contagious. It's going to be really important that you tune back in with us to find out how there's opportunities and there's ways for us to utilize hope in the darkness right now. Because that's the truth about darkness. When the world around us gets darker and darker, we have the opportunity as believers. The church has an opportunity as being a believing entity in the kingdom to shine brighter. So the world is going to get darker and darker, but we now have the opportunity to shine brighter. Jesus told us who we are in verse 14. I want you to check this out. In verse 14, He said to the disciples, and he says it to you and I today, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." And now what you don't see in this scripture passage is we already know that Jesus is the light of the world, but he's telling them now, "You are the light of the world." He's telling you, "You are the light of the world." I love that. I love recognizing that Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's looking at you and I today, and he's saying, "You are the light of the world." We get to reflect the light of the Father onto the world. That's exactly what we get to be during this time. We're mirrors of God's light because we are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now check this out. Verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see." He says, you're the light of the world. You're going to utilize the light that comes from my Father, and it comes through me, the Son. It's going to go to you, the disciples, and then you can shine that light out into the rest of the world. So that's what we get to do. shine this light out for the rest of the world. Last week, we talked about the Christian's response to the pandemics that hit the Roman Empire. And I heard this incredible quote this week from Ed Stetzer. He said, Eusebius, when speaking about the reaction of the pagans, was quoted as saying, now check out this quote, deeds were on their lips, meaning deeds were on the pagans' lips of the Christians. Deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. At the end of this church, at the end of this humanity, I want to be known that God's deeds were on everyone's lips because of how we responded during this time. I mean, this is what we need to be known for at the end of all of this. Was how did we respond? So let's just quickly recap here. Number one, we live by faith, not by fear. Number two, we are sacrificial, not selfish. And number three, we shine like light, not hide it. Now, is it going to be hard? Absolutely. Are there going to be people that we know that are going to come down with coronavirus? Yes. Are there potentially people that we know who are going to die because of the results of this virus? Yes. And it's not going to be easy. Is it going to be scary? Absolutely. It will. But I want you to know something. God is with you. God is with us. When if you're a parent for any amount of time and your little one has the ability to get out of their bed and come into your bed, I want you to think about those times when there's storms. And when there's a thunderstorm and there's lightning, they walk through the valley of the shadow of the hallway, and they walk through the valley of the shadow of your bedroom, and they come into and they climb into your bed, and they want to be comforted in that moment when the storm is happening, the lightning and the thunder. And you hold your kids, and holding your kids doesn't make the storm stop. Have you ever thought about that? You know, you hold your kids in that moment, it doesn't make the storm stop. Lightning is still flashing, thunder is still rolling, but it changes the way that they face it. It changes the way that they face the storm. You teach them how to get through the storm and face their fear. And that's exactly what God is doing in this moment with us. God, in this moment, we are climbing up into His arms. We need to go through the valley of the shadow of whatever it is that we're going through, and we need to seek out our Heavenly Father. It doesn't mean that the storm around us is going to stop. It doesn't mean that the thunder's not going to be loud and that the lightning isn't going to be bright, but He's going to help teach us how to face our fears. He's going to hold us in this moment. He's going to help us to be able to navigate getting through this time. Now, you have to remember, God is faithful. Aren't you thankful for that? God is faithful. He is in control. Even when it seems like so much is out of control, He is in control. And our God is good. And He has a plan. And we don't know what that plan looks like. We don't know what that plan is. You hear me quote this scripture often because I think it's a great, healthy reminder. His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not His. We don't know His plan, but we know He has one. And the Word tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's hold on to that promise this morning. He's working through all things. He's working through all things, even COVID-19. God is working in the midst. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're experiencing, whatever it is that you're facing right now in this moment, I want you to know that our God is with you, and He's with us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? That is so important. So here, and He is in, and He's present, and He's helping, and He's our present help in time of need. And again, I want to declare to you today that Jesus, and I declare to Him right now, Jesus, we live by faith, not by fear. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we live by faith, not fear. There's plenty right now to be afraid of. There's plenty right now that our minds and our hearts and our bodies are indicating to us that our fear level needs to be heightened. And there's a part of that that is so true. But Lord, we don't want to allow that fear to trump our faith. We don't want to allow that fear to be louder in our ears and louder in our minds than it needs to be. Lord, I pray for your comfort. I'm thankful that we can crawl up into your lap, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it doesn't change the condition of the storm, but it changes the condition of our heart and our safety. So Lord, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that your word promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we lean into that right now, Lord. And maybe there are some who are watching this morning, Lord, that they want to know what it feels and to be comforted by your love. So Lord, I pray that they begin that journey with you, that they would be quieting their heart, that they would be confessional, that they would be leaning into your word, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love them, that you went to the cross for them, that you conquered death for them, that you are resurrected. Now they can live resurrected. And Lord, I pray that you would walk with them and help them in their time of need. Again, Jesus, we praise you and we give you thanks for this in your name. Amen. Well, now, as we do at the end of every one of our services, and we want to continue even online, we want to end with our benediction, our blessing. And I always encourage you just to extend your hands and to receive this blessing over your week. These are important words. Words that can help us to remind us what God's presence is in our lives this week. So I pronounce this blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.